Tonight we're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 6 as we continue working our way through the Bible. And if you're able, please, would you stand with me as we read the chapter together? Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that you mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantedest not. And when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shall swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God, as you tempted him at Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies, and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt not do that, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondsmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is this day. And it should be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us. Gracious Father, once again we look to you for wisdom. We look to you for instruction, Lord. We pray for discernment. Help us to understand these things and know how to apply them to our lives. We ask, Father, that you be glorified in this place. Please, Lord, teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can be seated. Now in verse 1 it says, Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. The commandments, the statutes, and the judgments. Obviously, we're talking about the word of God, or in a sense, thus saith the Lord. The question here is, if Moses was commanded to teach them to the people, then what was the people's responsibility? If Moses is called to teach the people the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, then what's their responsibility? In a certain sense, their responsibility is to receive it, to learn them, to be teachable, and basically, as they understand these things, then to do the word of God. In John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, Jesus tells his disciples, If you continue in my word, then you'll be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But if you'll be my disciples, what's a disciple? Technically, from a linguistic standpoint, a disciple is a learner. He's a follower of a specific teacher that's going to teach them specific things. And if we're a disciple of Jesus, what do you think he's going to teach us? He's going to teach us all about himself. He's going to instruct us in his ways. And that's why we study to show ourselves approved, Paul wrote to Timothy, study to show yourself approved. Be diligent to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, God's word is like a diamond. It's multifaceted at times. Sometimes there are dual applications. Sometimes there's dual fulfillment in prophecy and all those kinds of things. But, you know, there's a right way and a wrong way to discern or to divide God's word. He's actually talking to us about specific things. And you can't just take it out of context and make it say what you want to say. That's why we take it as literally as we can. And we take it in context to get the correct meaning and the understanding of it. And that's why we study to show ourselves approved unto God. The end result, or the desired outcome, is that we would be doers of the word. In James chapter 1, verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Those that look into the word of God, those that continue in it, being not forgetful about what they've heard, but looking to be a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. In verse 2, again the purpose, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, and keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Again, repeating the exhortation to be a doer of God's word, not a hearer only. And the impact of this will be far-reaching generationally. It'll impact our kids, it'll impact our grandkids, and maybe our great-grandkids. And it perpetuates itself through our children. Mention is made also in this verse about the reward, which is, in this life, long life. You know, by and large, in this world, long life is considered a blessing. It's a universally kind of admirable. When we see someone who's lived to their 90s, or even, you know, past 100, it's like, wow, you know, God has blessed you. And that's true in every culture. And that's a blessing that obviously comes from God. Although, as we get older, the longer we walk with the Lord, the more that we long to be with Him. You know, it's like, okay, I wouldn't mind being 100, but I really like to be the Lord now. You know, I don't want to wait another 40 or 50 years. So, you know, it's interesting. When Joseph presented his father Jacob to Pharaoh in Pharaoh's court, Pharaoh took one good look at Jacob and goes, how old are you? That means to me that Jacob looked pretty old. That Jacob had some mileage on him, and Pharaoh was kind of amazed, like, how old are you? And the answer comes to us in Genesis chapter 47, verse 9. And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the day of their pilgrimage. It's interesting, he's saying, I'm 130 years old, and by the way, he's got about 8 years to go before he dies. So he's going to be 138 before he goes to see the Lord. And he had some serious mileage on him. But that's a total blessing. I mean, Jacob was blessed by God. Long life in this world isn't the only reward, though. The long life we're looking forward to is eternal. The long life we're looking forward to is forever, forever in heaven. I love talking about God's word. I like this phrase in verse 1, the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, and so on. And Psalm 19 kind of combines verses 1 and 2 together. In Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11, we read, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them thy servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. What's that great reward? That great reward is communion and fellowship with our Heavenly Father for eternity. If we keep God's word and we keep it in our heart and seek to please Him all the days of our life, you know, we're going to stumble, we're going to fall, but He's going to keep picking us up. But someday, He's really going to pick us up. Someday we're going to get to be in His presence, and this will become, oh, it was so worth it. It was so worth it. And it is worth it. God's word is life to us, and we need to view it that way. To have what I would consider what I've read about lately is to have a high view of God's word. So many people today, so many churches today, so many pastors today have a low view of God's word. They don't esteem it highly. They treat it lightly. But we're called to revere God's word. We're called to study God's word. We're called to fear Him. And that comes basically by studying His word. In verse 3, he says, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that you may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, the land which flows with milk and honey. You know, the word hear again is the word Shema. And it means to hear intelligently, to hear carefully, obediently. You know, you ever have somebody give you some instructions like how to get somewhere? And, you know, I've done it, people have done this for me 100 times. And I get past like the third word or the second turn or whatever. It's like, and it just kind of, you know, you're lost. And when it's important that you get somewhere. For me, it's like, okay, I've really got to focus. I've really got to pay attention, maybe even take notes if I want to understand what they're telling me. And when I do that, it helps me to hear in a way that I can actually hear intelligently or carefully and hopefully to be obedient with discernment. But it means verily, you know, like when Jesus said in the New Testament many times, in the King James, he says things like, verily, verily, you know, I say unto you. And whenever I hear the words verily, verily, in the New King James, it means most assuredly I say unto you. But whenever I see those words verily, verily, that means, okay, pay attention, this is important. I mean, you can almost look at that every single time when Jesus says that. It's like, pay attention, something important is about to be spoken. And to me, that's really all of God's Word. There isn't anything that we can leave out. But the idea here is to observe it, to do it, that it might be well with us, having favor and increasing, receiving the land that flows with milk and honey. Speaking of, you know, favor and prosperity, I didn't understand that term, flowing with milk and honey, because I always think about, honestly, dairy cows. And, you know, gallons of milk flowing down in the middle of the field or something. But what is meant by this, because of their agrarian culture, flowing with milk, that means they've got lots of cattle that are reproducing. And there's lots of milk that are nourishing the young calves and the donkeys and the camels and all that kind of stuff. The milk is flowing freely. In other words, they're prospering greatly because they measured their wealth by cattle. And so it's flowing with that kind of milk. And milk and honey, we think of honey as like what you get in a jar that bees make. But if you look at the word in the Hebrew, when it talks about the honey, it's talking about more like a fruit jam. And so it's a fruitful place. It's a place of abundance. And that's what it is. Because I look at that. I've been to Israel a couple times now. I look at that and go, I'm not seeing a lot of milk and honey around here. You know, I'm not seeing a lush tropical paradise. But you know what? It is a place that is truly flowing with milk and honey today. This is different. This is different. I mean, people could take this verse like the name it, claim it crowd, could look at verse 3 and goes, oh, wow, here's what it is. You know, that it may be well with you, that you might increase mightily. But what's the first part that precedes that? Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. That means being obedient to God's word, and the result is going to be that they will be increased, that they will prosper. And it's a difference between the name it, claim it kind of stuff versus simple obedience to God's word. Simply being obedient to God's word, there's a blessing in that. Then we get to verse 4, which we covered this morning. And it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Again, this is the Shema. This is a verse that's recited by the Jewish people. And it starts off with the Lord, Jehovah, the self-existent one, the eternal one, the Lord our God, Elohim. We talked about this morning, the triune God. And understanding that, you know, God is intended to be the master passion of our lives. And as he walks us through this verse and identifies himself, it's consistent with what we understand of God, that he's a jealous God, that he doesn't want any rivals. He's the one and the only God, and he wants us to be with him. And then we get to verse 5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy might. See, again, I sometimes misquote that just because it's stated a couple different ways. But here we see God commanding us to love him. We talked about this morning as well. According to the scriptures, love is an act of the will, which is why God commands us to yield our will to him. And again, I mean, God gives us plenty of reasons to love him. I mean, number one, just look at the cross. Just look at the sacrifice of Jesus and the sacrifices of his only begotten Son on our behalf. And there's plenty of reason right there to love God. The fact that he saves us from hell. But again, love is a choice. But how does he call us to love him? With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, holding nothing back. It's really interesting. I remember, you know, long before I was a pastor, just kind of going to church and doing quote unquote the church thing. And I did that for several years. I carried my Bible around, but I didn't read it. I remember kind of just punching in and punching out, thinking I was kind of doing the right thing. And I remember when the Lord got a hold of my heart truly. I remember when I fell in love with God's word. And all of a sudden, all I wanted to do was to worship him.